I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Big Pharma is charging Americans more than three times what they charge other countries simply because they could. And I think it's outrageous.
Despite lawsuits from Big Pharma, the Biden administration has announced Medicare will begin negotiating to bring down the costs of 10 prescription drugs, including ones used to treat diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. We'll get the latest on the landmark announcement. Plus, we go to the Dominican Republic to look at the dire living conditions for Haitian migrant workers on sugar plantations.
State realized that the cheap labor of Haitian seasonal workers was beneficial to the Dominican economy. This culminated in the construction of Batelles, towns of sugar plantation workers. These plantations have exploited these cheap laborers and forced Haitian seasonal workers into a modern form of slavery.
And we speak to Democratic Congress member Greg Cassar, just back from a congressional trip to Colombia, Brazil, and Chile, which will soon mark 50 years since the U.S.-backed military coup. Cassar and the other lawmakers are calling on the Biden administration to declassify more documents about the U.S. role in the coup. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Soldiers in Gabon declare they're seizing power and nullifying recent elections as they took to national television earlier today.
The general elections of August 26, 2023, as well as the truncated results, are canceled. The borders are closed until further notice. All institutions of the Republic are dissolved.
Earlier in the day, Gabon's National Election Authority announced President Ali Bongo Ondimba has been reelected for a third term in Saturday's election, which was marred by delays and decried by opposition leader Albert Ondo Osa as a fraud. Bongo, who's reportedly being held under house arrest, has already served 2 7-year terms. His family has been in power for over half a century. Critics accuse Bongo of not using the West African nation's oil and natural resource wealth to improve the lives of one-third of the population living in poverty. The French oil giant Total Energies is Gabon's main distributor of petroleum products. Gabon freed itself from French rule in 1960. As soldiers drove through the capital, Libreville, residents took to the streets to cheer them on. If successful, it would be the eighth coup in West Africa and Central Africa since 2020. Hurricane Idalia made landfall along the Big Bend area of Florida's Gulf Coast as a Category 3 storm with winds of 125 miles per hour. It's likely to be the most powerful hurricane to affect Florida's capital, Tallahassee, in decades. More than 100,000 customers have lost power when Idalia hit Florida's coast. 30 of the state's 67 counties were issued at least partial evacuation orders as of early this morning, as officials warned residents of catastrophic storm surges of up to 12 to 16 feet.
Very few people can survive being in the path of major storm surge, and this storm will be deadly if we don't get out of harm's way and take it seriously.
No, I'm not. The Biden administration released a list of the first 10 prescription drugs Medicare will now be able to negotiate prices on, which could lead to a savings of some $100 billion over the next decade. The price negotiation was established as part of 2022's Inflation Reduction Act and is a massive blow for Big Pharma, which has been fighting the plan in courts in at least 8 lawsuits. The drugs are used to treat diabetes, cancer, and heart disease, among other conditions. The White House said senior citizens paid $3.4 billion in out-of-pocket costs for the 10 medications in the past year. This is President Biden.
For years, Big Pharma blocked this. They kept prescription drug prices high to increase their profits and extend patents on existing drugs to suppress fair competition instead of innovating. Playing games with pricing so they could charge whatever they can. But this is finally, we had enough votes by a matter of one to beat Big Pharma.
The negotiated prices will not take effect until 2026. Some drugs will remain exempted from further negotiations, including those which were approved by the FDA less than 9 years ago. In Uganda, two men are facing what are believed to be the first charges of aggravated homosexuality after a draconian new anti-LGBTQIA law was passed earlier this year, which also punishes consensual same-sex relations. The charges could lead to life in prison and even the death penalty. The law has been widely condemned by rights groups, the UN, and other countries. Earlier this month, the World Bank said it's suspending new loans to Uganda over the law. Meanwhile, in Nigeria, over five dozen people were arrested at a gay wedding in the south of the country Monday. Same-sex marriage is illegal in Nigeria, punishable by up to 14 years behind bars. More than 30 African nations ban same-sex relationships. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, army officials are reporting at least 14 people are dead after militia fighters attacked a village in the northeastern part of the country. Military officials have blamed the CODECO militia for the attack. More than 120 armed groups have been in bloody conflict in the region, many over control of land and mines, while others are fighting to protect their communities. The Danish government's proposed a new bill that would ban the burning of the Quran under penalty of fines or up to 2 years in prison. This comes after recent public desecrations of the Quran by far-right protesters in Denmark and Sweden, setting off international condemnation and demonstrations across the Muslim world. This is Denmark's justice minister.
When individuals demonstratively go out and burn the Quran daily, as we have seen recently, it's a basic mockery and unsympathetic action. It harms Denmark and Danish interests, and it risks the security of Danes out in the world and at home.
In Bahrain, at least 800 prisoners have been on hunger strike for over 3 weeks, protesting human rights violations and worsening conditions. Prisoners have denounced arbitrary solitary confinement, cell lockdowns of 23 hours a day, and no access to medical care and education. This is the biggest hunger strike led by political prisoners in the Gulf nation's history, with hundreds of others also taking to the streets in solidarity with the strikers at the Jau prison, the largest in Bahrain. Officials have reportedly agreed to increase the duration of visitation and said they're looking into raising the time prisoners are allowed outdoors. Many of them were arrested, tortured, and imprisoned following the 2011 massive uprisings during the Arab Spring. In Pakistan, an appeals court Tuesday suspended former Prime Minister Imran Khan's 3-year prison sentence and conviction on corruption charges. If the court decides to set aside his conviction, he'll be allowed to run for office in elections scheduled for November. But despite being granted bail, Khan will remain in detention, at least for now, over another criminal case involving the leak of classified information. Dozens of charges were brought against Khan since he was removed from office in a no-confidence vote in April last year. Khan has denounced the charges as politically motivated. Amidst mounting U.S.-China tensions, lawmakers in 33 states have introduced legislation this year to prohibit Chinese entities and even Chinese citizens from buying agricultural land or property near military bases. A dozen of those bills have passed into law, including Florida's controversial SB 264, which has been challenged by a group of Chinese citizens who cited violations of the Fair Housing Act. The Washington Post reports while most of the legislation making its way through state houses also names countries like Iran and North Korea, China is the clear target. Rights groups and some political leaders say such restrictions will further stoke anti-Asian sentiment. Quote, there is ignorance out there that causes people to think that because you're Chinese, you're part of the Chinese government, said former Texas State Representative Martha Wong to The Washington Post. A new report finds air pollution reduces global life expectancy by 2.3 years, slightly more than being a smoker. The study by the Energy Policy Institute at University of Chicago concludes fine particulate air pollution from vehicles, industrial emissions, wildfires, and other sources are, quote, the greatest external threat to public health, unquote. In South Asia, air pollution cuts life expectancy by an average of 5 years, with the air quality in New Delhi, India, leading to a loss of life of more than 10 years on average. In Greece, firefighters are battling a massive wildfire in the northeast Evros region for the 12th straight day. The blaze has destroyed an area greater than New York City and what has become the largest ever recorded wildfire in the European Union. Greek officials said the fire was still out of control around the Dagia National Park. This is the head of conservation at WWF Greece.
Because of its very high biodiversity, the National Park of Dagia was one of the most important protected areas in Greece and also in Europe, perhaps also an international scale. And at the moment, at least 30% of the park has been lost to fire.
Here in the United States, wildfires in southwestern Louisiana killed two people and scorched roughly 60,000 acres as of Tuesday. Governor John Bel Edwards said the fires are the worst Louisiana has experienced since at least the Second World War amidst a record-breaking drought. Meanwhile, in Maui, the search for wildfire victims on land has ended, with search efforts now moving to the ocean. The official death toll has reached 115 people, with many still missing. The Environmental Protection Agency has rolled back parts of the Clean Water Act, which protect millions of acres of wetlands, in order to comply with a Supreme Court ruling. The right-wing-dominated court ruled in May that wetlands must have a continuous surface connection to streams, oceans, rivers, and lakes to be subject to federal regulations on pollution. Up to 63% of wetlands will be affected. The White House said the Supreme Court ruling, quote, jeopardizes the sources of clean drinking water for farmers, businesses, and millions of Americans. And the Committee on the Rights of the Child said Monday governments must address the climate crisis and other environmental emergencies to, quote, ensure that children are protected from foreseeable, premature, or unnatural death and threats to their lives and enjoy their right to life with dignity. The formal opinion issued by the UN body could be a boon to multiple lawsuits brought by youth around the world over their government's inaction and contribution to climate change. Next month, the European Court of Human Rights will hear a climate case from a group of young people in Portugal against 32 countries. To see our interview with a youth activist in Montana after the Montana case was won in a lawsuit brought by Montana youth, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, the Biden administration's taken a step to rein in the soaring costs of prescription drugs in the United States. On Tuesday, the White House released a list of the first 10 prescription drugs Medicare can negotiate lower prices for. The list includes medication used to treat diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. The Biden administration also added some insulin products, which surprised many. The White House says the price negotiations could lead to a savings of some $100 billion over the next decade. The move is seen as a major blow to Big Pharma, which has been fighting the plan in courts, filing at least 8 lawsuits since the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act last year, which gave Medicare the authority to negotiate drug prices. President Biden spoke Tuesday.
Big Pharma charges Americans more than 3 times what they charge other countries simply because they could. And I think it's outrageous. That's why these negotiations matter. Reducing the cost of these 10 additional drugs alone will help more than 9 million Americans. And by September 2024, HHS, Health and Human Services, was going to publish the prices it negotiated. In January of 2026, the new prices will go into effect.
Independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont responded to the news by saying much more needs to be done to stop Big Pharma from charging higher prices in the United States. Senator Sanders pointed out one diabetes drug made by Merck costs $547 a month in the U.S., but just $16 in France. Joining us now is Peter Maybardouk. He's director of Public Citizens Access to Medicines Program. Welcome to Democracy Now! So talk about why this has taken so long, but also why this is such a landmark announcement from President Biden and Vice President Harris.
Well, it's obviously terrible that Medicare hasn't had the ability to negotiate prices until this point. It was a corrupt deal when the Medicare prescription drug benefit was created nearly 20 years ago, and pharma was against the reform until it was for it because it was able to write out the possibility of negotiation. And so since that time, a generation of health advocates have been working to give the government the basic right to negotiate drug prices with the monopolists that our laws create and support. Countries around the world have that right, and not negotiating makes obviously our drug prices higher and our tax dollars not go as far. So this list, long expected announcement coming shortly after the 1 year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act, shows us where our government will begin negotiations based on some of the most the drugs that are most expensive to Medicare, and we expect the savings to be quite substantial. It includes six very commonly used medications to support heart health and fight diabetes. My father-in-law takes four of these drugs. They're very important to seniors. It also includes three very expensive rare disease drugs, or drugs against arthritis and a blood cancer. But as you mentioned, the inclusion of insulin is a welcome surprise. Well, not just insulin, but six insulin products sold by Novo Nordisk, something that Insulin for All activists have been fighting for quite some time. 1.3 million Americans ration insulin, and this is another step toward breaking the back of the insulin cartel that we're very glad to see.
But, Peter, why so few drugs in the first batch that are going to be negotiated compared to the thousands of drugs that are out there? And also, doesn't this take effect? People will only feel the impact in 2028. Why so long a period of time?
So there's a statutory mandate. They have to begin with 10 drugs, but they will add 15 drugs in the following year and another 15 drugs in the year after that. So the impact is going to grow substantially over a period of time. We, of course, would have liked to see the initial legislation be more aggressive and bring more drugs immediately into the negotiation portfolio. The VA negotiates on behalf of veterans already. They handle it with a large number of drugs. But this is the deal that was cut. But that impact is going to grow. The prices will take effect on January 1st of 2026, and it does take some time. There will be a negotiation. There will be an exchange of information this fall with the companies. CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, will sit down with patient groups and hear their perspective. And then there will be an initial price offer from the government in February and negotiations next summer. But the Inflation Reduction Act more broadly already is having positive impacts on drug prices. Beyond the negotiation provisions, there are measures to curb price spikes, the pharma bro Martin Shkreli problem that also is a standard industry practice to increase the prices of their drugs that are already on the market year by year. In fact, AARP found that for the top 25 Medicare drugs, pharma has tripled the price of those drugs since they came on market. Prices are going up, not down, after they put a drug on market. Anyhow, the Inflation Reduction Act also includes and has penalized so far, CMS, I believe, has penalized about 40 companies for taking price spikes and ensuring that that practice stops. So IRA is already holding prices in place for some drugs, and over time we will see price reductions through the negotiation. But as Senator Sanders mentioned, there is quite a bit left to do and more that needs to be done outside of IRA.
And did the Inflation Reduction Act also have a cap on the amount of money that people would have to spend out of their own pocket for drugs taken at home?
There are out-of-pocket caps and coverage expansions that are part of the act and will support seniors with their drug costs, yes.
Peter Mabarduk, if you can respond to what some of the Republicans have said, I mean, this seems to me across the political spectrum to be appreciated, to say the least. But the question is, like Sanders has raised, Senator Sanders, why it is so limited. But the head of the midterm elections, Congressman Kevin Brady, Republican, said repealing the law could be a Republican agenda item because those drug provisions are so dangerous by discouraging investment in life-saving cures. Is this discouraging investment in life-saving cures, or is it just going to stock buybacks?
Much of it's going to buybacks. No, it's not discouraging investment. And those critics are out of step with public opinion. A recent West Gallup poll showed that 83% of Americans favor some form of a drug price negotiation and this going ahead. Look, the American people support pharmaceutical research and development to the tune of $40 billion a year through the National Institutes of Health and its grants. Almost every single new drug that comes to market has benefited from taxpayer subsidies of their research and development agenda, and in addition to the many tax breaks. And further, prices are not related to R&D costs. It's not as though the pharmaceutical companies look at their R&D costs and say, here's what it's going to take to recoup. They say, no, what is the most that we can charge? And this has come out in Senate hearings and elsewhere. What's the most we can charge before the blowback becomes unsustainable? We have to recall that these are drugs that are they're monopolized, they're patent protected, and the companies will charge in an environment without market competition as much as we collectively are willing to pay to care for our sick. Negotiation to pay the price that we find appropriate is sort of the least that our government can do to begin to rein in those sorts of abuses.
If you can talk about going back to that point about, for example, Merck's diabetes drug Januvia costing $547 in the U.S., but just $16 in France. Why is there this massive difference? And also, the fact that this doesn't go into effect for another, what, almost 3 years, 2026? And are new drugs subject to this?
Well, I think for us, one of the biggest shortcomings of the negotiation provisions is that drugs aren't subject to negotiation until they've been on market 7 to 11 years, depending on the class of drug. Now, pharmaceutical companies have been raising the price of new drugs when a drug first comes to market, an average of 20% per year for the past 15 years. So the launch price of drugs keeps getting higher. And if we don't find a way to deal with that problem, we can actually expect that while the Inflation Reduction Act will save a great deal of money, prices for new drugs will continue to go up. Now, the government does have tools to deal with that, and many of us, including Senator Sanders and Warren and Representative Lloyd Doggett, many of their progressive colleagues in Congress, have championed executive action against the patent monopolies to say that when a drug is outrageously expensive, the government actually has the right, under current existing law, to authorize generic competition with those drugs at any time and save a great deal of money. And if we start to do that, then we will see the kind of downward pressure on prices. You know, it'll force some restraint in the boardroom, and would very nicely complement the Inflation Reduction Act's provisions on negotiation and inflationary rebates.
And Peter, I wanted to ask you, Americans spend in 2022 $600 billion on medicines. That's half of the total expenditure on medicines in the entire globe. We watch TV, and every day there are so many drugs being peddled by the pharmaceutical industry that they're running out of names to come up with names for these drugs. Could you talk about this enormous marketing effort of the pharmaceutical district to push drugs on the American people?
Well, it's out of control. And, you know, we hope through processes like IRA, we can slowly start to get toward more rational and transparent processes as well, reveal more information about price, better value if the government implements the act, you know, quite quite assertively, better value the medical innovations that make the biggest difference to health rather than medications that are primarily cosmetic or just do the same thing as the last five expensive drugs. But it's true. You know, we're paying far more than the rest of the world, and there's no rational basis for it. It's also true that there's really no rational basis for the prices of patented drugs anywhere in the world. This is the problem we get when we create legal monopolies and then do very little to constrain the price of those monopolies. It leads to treatment rationing in the United States, 3 in 10 people self-rationing their own access to medicines in the United States. And of course, it leads to tremendous preventable suffering and death around the world.
Where does universal health care, single-payer health care, the movement for it stand today, Peter? I mean, that's the bigger question.
Well, the two processes, we need both, because you can have universal health care and still have drug monopolies. So while we're making important strides on universal coverage here and around the world, we also need to see specific disciplines set on the pharmaceutical corporations, because we wouldn't want them ripping off a single payer either. But at least through single payer, you get those. And if you couple it with aggressive negotiation and other tools, you get that increased bargaining power. Pharma exploits the relatively limited bargaining power of health systems that have many purchasers where no one knows what the other one is paying. So unifying those could be quite helpful, and pushing for transparency of R&D costs as well as prices would help, too.
Peter Maybarduk, we want to thank you so much for being with us, director of Public Citizens Access to Medicines Program, speaking to us from Massachusetts. Coming up, Texas Democratic Congress member Greg Kassar is just back from a congressional trip to Colombia, Brazil, Chile, which will soon mark half a century since the U.S.-backed military coup. We'll speak to him as President Biden just met with the Costa Rican president at the White House. Stay with us.
Since we were a child, we knew that water's running out. Since we were a child, we knew what they should do about the grinding down, the vicious gears, the gnashing of the teeth. Disposable everything,
Disposable Everything by AJJ. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Commemorations are being planned in Chile for September 11th to mark the 50th anniversary of the U.S.-backed military coup that ousted democratically elected President Salvador Allende and led to a 17-year dictatorship led by General Augusto Pinochet. A U.S. congressional delegation recently traveled to Chile ahead of the coup anniversary. During their trip, the lawmakers called for the Biden administration to declassify more documents on the U.S. role in the coup. Congress members taking part in the trip were New York's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Nydia Velazquez, Florida's Maxwell Frost, who we spoke to yesterday, and Joaquin Castro and Greg Kassar, both from Texas. The delegation also traveled to Brazil and Colombia. Texas Congressmember Greg Kassar joins us now from Austin, Texas. We're also speaking to you on the day after President Biden met with the Costa Rican president at the White House to talk about issues, including migration. But we want to start where you were in Latin America, and particularly talk about what's happening in Chile right now, just ahead of that other September 11th, 1973, when the U.S.-backed Augusto Pinochet rose to power and the democratically elected president, Salvador Allende, died in the palace.
Amy, Juan, thank you so much for having me on. Just got back from this trip to Colombia, Brazil, and Chile, and it was an important and historic trip. It was the first time that anyone can remember that an entirely Latino delegation of members of Congress went down. Many of the heads of state and ministers that we met with were surprised for